Welcome to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast, where we can help you build confidence with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. We hope you enjoy the show. And now, for your host, Paul Marquis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 319 of the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I'm your host, Paul Marquis, and I'm a physical therapist. Today, we're going to be talking about hallux limitus and the conservative management of that. We'll be talking about the difference between hallux limitus and hallux rigidus. We'll talk about why people develop this. We're going to go over some conservative management options and so much more. All right, so we're going to jump right into this episode today and talk about hallux limitus primarily, but we're going to throw both in there just because one can look so much like the other and you kind of treat them almost the same, but we'll discuss that in a little bit. Thought I would just start with a little anatomy review first. And hallux limitus occurs at that first metatarsophalangeal joint, all right? The distal metatarsal is convex, and that meets with the concave surface of that proximal first phalanx. Now, let's talk a little bit about hallux limitus and rigidus, okay? They're really more descriptors than they are an actual diagnosis, almost like sciatica. You know, we talk about sciatica and people talk about it like it's a diagnosis when it's really just a descriptive word for radiating pain that goes down the leg. There are many causes of sciatica. And so hallux limitus and hallux rigidus are descriptors of, you know, painful movement into extension of the big toe. But we're going to talk about, you know, what can cause some of that limited movement, some of that pain associated with that, and how we would treat the two of them a little bit differently. So hallux limitus is more of a stiffness and a pain with extension of the metatarsophalangeal joint, secondary to capsular, fascial, or, you know, tightness of the flexor hallucis longus. All right. So, interestingly enough, people who have hallux limitus have dorsal joint pain. So, they have pain on the top of the joint. And it's usually because there's some spurs from that metatarsal and that phalanx that are hitting each other at the top. But you can also have limitation because of just soft tissue tightness underneath or on the plantar surface of the foot. Now, hallux rigidus is really a lot stiffer. It's more painful. It's an arthritic joint. It's less likely to respond to conservative physical therapy measures. There's more of a rigid or a bony endpoint, okay? And oftentimes much more painful when you try to extend that big toe. Now, we see this more in people who have a family history, and if there is a family history of hallux limitus or hallux rigidus, it's more likely to be bilateral. We see this more in women than we do men, but there is no association between the types of shoes that they wear or even not wearing shoes at all. So we can't really look at that as the big factor, the causal factor here. There is, though, some question of the first metatarsal not plantar flexing very well. So kind of like a fixed forefoot varus, that first ray is just not dropping toward the floor very well, and therefore the first phalanx is not being forced to extend much when ambulating. So therefore, it stays in that kind of that flexion position and can become stiff there. So, luckily enough, if it's just a stiffness type of issue, we can improve the flexibility of that and improve that patient's function and pain level. So, how do you know if it is hallux limitus or hallux rigidus? Well, limitus will give you more of a springy end feel when you are extending the big toe. In non-weight bearing, there will be better extension than while weight bearing. Whereas hallux rigidus is going to be more of a bony, empty end feel, okay? Oftentimes so painful you can't even extend them, but there's really not a lot of difference between weight-bearing and non-weight-bearing with this because it is more of a joint issue, okay? And so the restriction is happening before you even hit the soft tissue tightness. And so in rigidus, you're going to get much more restricted motion. Oftentimes that toe will be kind of fixed in about 5 to 10 degrees of extension, and often very, very painful to try to push it any more than that. Sometimes they'll even fuse themselves if a patient's tough enough and lets it go long enough. And with rigidus, you'll also see that first metatarsophalangeal joint will be a little more enlarged. It'll be tender all the way around the joint. So all aspects of that joint, plantar, dorsal, medial, lateral, will be painful. Oftentimes because it's just full of spurs, that nice hyaline cartilage is gone. And now we have this really arthritic joint that's just not moving very well. Now, how do you treat these? You know, the first line of treatment should be physical therapy. If it is a hallux limitus, you want to start considering, well, let me go back a little bit. So, you know, physical therapy, orthotics, proper shoe wear is kind of the first step here that you should take. And when you start physical therapy, you want to manage some of these soft tissue restrictions. So if you're in limitus, oftentimes you'll have just some restricted plantar fascial tissue, capsular tightness, flexor hallucis longus could be tight. And so you want to start stretching that a little bit. I like to use moist heat in an area like that. I find it to be quite effective. Moist heat can penetrate up to 2 centimeters deep. So it can help. And the reason I stick with moist heat and I do it a lot with the foot and ankle is that I've had great success with it, number one. And even though research says it may not be helpful with long-term flexibility or mobility, I see a huge difference. If I put a hot pack on somebody's calf and foot, get them off the heat, put them on a slant board, they tell me that leg doesn't feel like it's getting stretched like the non-heated leg. So there is an effect. There is a physiologic effect that happens, and it helps to kind of inhibit the muscle from contracting so hard. So I'm a big advocate of moist heat in that area, unless they are having a severe acute inflammatory condition and they're having a lot of pain, then ice may be more beneficial. But remember, ice doesn't get rid of swelling and inflammation. It really is just there to help decrease pain. So I might use moist heat on the plantar surface of the metatarsophalangeal joint. I might do a little pulsed ultrasound there. If I think the patient will tolerate some thermal, I'll even do some thermal. Radial pressure wave therapy is now kind of jumping into the literature as a modality that could be helpful with this. And I also like to do the towel stretch where you take the towel, you put it under your calf, bring it all the way down around the foot over the big toe, and then you pull back on that big toe. So not only are you dorsiflexing the foot and ankle, but you're also extending that big toe, and that flexor hallucis longus is getting a nice little stretch there. And if you can do that without having too much dorsal metatarsophalangeal joint pain, then go ahead and do that stretch. Okay, they should feel a nice pull with that. You could also do some joint mobilizations to the first metatarsophalangeal joint to help promote extension. And you could also do joint mobilization to the first metatarsal and try to optimize its ability to plantar flex better, okay? And therefore, that first ray or that first toe phalanx will extend a little bit better. I'm also huge on gastroxoleus stretching to help decrease that forefoot contact time. So if we could decrease the amount of forefoot pressure and excessive overpressure into extension, especially if it's painful, then I will do some gastroxoleus flexibility. And the other reason I want to do that is to help decrease shearing at that MTPJ on the plantar surface. Now, as far as orthotics go, there's two things that you need to figure out here. Is the pain at the first metatarsophalangeal joint with weight bearing, or does the pain occur when the metatarsophalangeal joint is extended? All right. So pain with weight bearing, we want to offload that metatarsophalangeal joint. All right. So if they stand up and they're going to toe off and they push off on the MTPJ and it causes a lot of discomfort in the plantar surface of the foot, then you want to offload that. I like to use a 1-5 metatarsal pad under a custom orthotic. You could get away with a teardrop type of metatarsal pad under a semi-custom orthotic like a Tread Labs. That's an option. But if these are really bad, I'll go to the custom and I actually make them myself. So it's a lot easier to, you know, manipulate and move around and trial. I always do a trial run before I glue anything in place and let the patient leave. So we do test run these things quite a bit. I might also use like a pink plastizote material and really soften out or make a depression where that first MTPJ is almost like I would do with a sesamoiditis in that area. And that'll help take some pressure off that just to take the mechanical irritation off of that joint. Now, if you extend the big toe and the MTPJ and they have pain, and it really doesn't matter where they have the pain, if you just extend it and they start to have pain right away and they cannot toe off, and basically they're walking on the lateral side of the foot because it hurts so much, they start to develop some lateral foot pain and other issues, peroneal tendonitis and other discomfort around the knee and hip because they're compensating, then you need to jump into a carbon plate underneath the first metatarsophalangeal joint built into a custom orthotic. There are carbon plates out there that will be full foot carbon plates and just cover that MTPJ also and not do the second, third, fourth, and fifth toes. And so it's a little lighter, a little lower profile, might fit into the shoe just a little bit better. That's an option if you do not have the ability to get into a custom orthotic with a built-in carbon plate. With the person who has pain with extension, I'll also add a rocker bottom shoe or a sneaker, especially for that rigidus patient for sure. If they have just hallux limitus, they're kind of in the early stages of it, I may want to encourage extension of that toe. So I may let them go without the rocker bottom shoe. But if it's just too painful to toe off, then I'll get them into that rocker bottom. There are even some rocker bottoms out there that have carbon plates in them. And I also will do some patient education on, you know, avoidance of walking barefooted. That can increase the irritation, inflammation underneath that joint. I might, you know, if let's say that they are a carpenter, they work on, you know, the pitch of a roof and that toe is extended all the time, trying to support themselves, you know, from sliding down the roof. Or if they are laying lots of floors, I may put them into a boot or a shoe that is much more rigid so they can't hyperextend that toe and cause more irritation. Now, if the patient's having a lot of pain due to inflammation in that joint, especially in the plantar surface, they may do well with a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. Some will get injections with some short-time relief. And then same with iontophoresis with dexamethasone and with sodium phosphate. That can decrease that inflammation. It's not a lot of thick tissue there, so it can penetrate fairly well. So definitely all good options if their problem is more of an acute inflammatory issue. But if it's been a long-term issue, you really have to change the you know, the biomechanics. And oftentimes if those, you know, conservative management measures don't work, then you have to jump into surgery, which is never a fun process when you're talking about this particular joint because you really have to be non-weight bearing for quite a long time. Sometimes you have no choice because it's altering the gait so much that it really throws everything else off. So one thing I should point out is that a person's weight can also be an issue. And I get this problem and this question all the time. They're like, well, you know, I was told I needed to lose weight, but I can't, you know, because I can't walk and I like to walk. And so this comes up all the time. And so you really have to have this talk about cardio as an important aspect to, you know, decreasing weight, which decreases pressure and it changes the mechanics of you know, this whole inflammatory process when they're ambulating. But cardio is very, very important. So I'm talking about biking, maybe stationary biking, and changing the foot placement. A lot of these folks may be competitive bikers. They like to be in clipped-in shoes. Well, we need to change that clip underneath the shoe to a more midfoot placement rather than a forefoot placement. You know, swimming, and you know, if they're going to go swimming, they like to swim. That's a great way to stay cardiovascularly fit. They just don't want to be walking barefooted on the hard surfaces around a pool. So, getting a cushiony type of slide, like an UFO's or a Hoka slide that is very cushioned can be helpful to take some of that trauma off the bottom of the foot. Concept rowing, you know, is also a healthy thing to do. They just have to push a little bit more with the heels and not so much with the forefoot. So there are really a lot of options in regards to cardiovascular re-education, and I think we need to kind of drive people in that direction, because they start to develop this foot problem, they start to gain weight because they're not as active, and we just need to kind of break that cycle. So I know that was a lot of information for such a little joint, but you know, hallux limitus and rigidus can both be quite disabling, can cause a lot of gait abnormalities, and really be limiting to a patient. So I hope you were able to harvest a few tips and pearls from today's show to make your patients' lives better. I hope you have a great day. Be kind to each other and take care.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For some more awesome content, go to orthoevalpal.com. Can't wait to see you there.